But we'll be looking at Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 to 19. Okay, Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 to 19. And I will be reading from verse 17. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot, will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. Well, again, look around you. We're in this beautiful park, worshiping God in its beauty. But to think that someday all of this will fade away, right? Nothing will last forever. But in what we read today, Jesus tells us that the scripture, right, God's words that we just read will not fade before all of heaven and earth fade away, that not a single dot, not a single tick mark, not a single promise will fade away before Jesus returns and makes all things new. And that is a hope that we carry as Christians. And today in this beautiful nature, we celebrate the many gifts that God has given us. This beautiful nature, this Word of God, the Word of God become flesh, Jesus, and those who taught them to us, namely our godly mothers. And all that I've mentioned are beautiful gifts from God, and I would like to share about these gifts on this Mother's Day Sunday. So three things I want to share with you. Give thanks to God for the Word of God, for Jesus, the Word of God, and the teachers of the Word of God. Again, we give thanks to God for the Word of God, the Scripture, for Jesus, the Word of God become flesh, and the teachers of the Word of God. Because sometimes we take these for granted, especially if you grew up in the church or grew up in a Christian home where the Bible was always around. Having parents who teach you about the Bible and about Jesus is actually a blessing, yet we can forget this sometimes. Learning about the stories in the Bible and about God and Jesus has become so regular that it may not seem special even. But to awaken our appreciation, our gratitude, right, we must give thanks. So first, give thanks to God for the Word of God. Here in today's passage, Jesus shifts from what is our identity to the practical application of our identity. Right, from the be's to the do's. And this section functions as the interpretive hinge of the entire Sermon of the Mount. In other words, this is the key to understanding the entire sermon, the entire message. Because if misread, the following sections can lead to us misunderstanding the entire point of the sermon. We can understand the proper place of the scripture in our lives, and namely the Old Testament, and who Jesus is and why he came. And that key lies in Jesus' statement in verse 17. Again, he says, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." To fulfill them. And that's really the main point of this passage. But first, what are the law and the prophets? Right? We must remember that during Jesus' days, and much of apostles' days, they didn't have the New Testament, right? The Old Testament that we call, right, or the Hebrew Bible, was the scripture. And now the Old Testament is called the Tanakh, right? Now a little lesson for you in Hebrew. Tanakh is actually just three Hebrew letters put together. Tav, Nun, and Kaf, right? And really just the sound Ta-na-ka. So that's why it's called Tanakh. And they stand for the Torah, right? The first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch, the Nevi'im, which are the writings of the prophets from Joshua all the way to Malachi, and the Ketuvim, the writings they call, including Psalms, Proverbs, Job, and it also include books like Daniel, Esther, and the Chronicles, the historical books. Now, when Jesus says the law and the prophets, he's really talking about all of them. The law would include things like the Ten Commandments and the ceremonial, sacrificial, purity laws. And the prophets would be pretty much everything else that was written, because most of the books were actually written by the prophets. But one thing to note is the function of the prophets, and that is they spoke God's words to the people in different forms. Sometimes in spoken words, sometimes in written words like scrolls, and sometimes through actions like illustrations. They were basically like visual sermon illustrations. And they revealed the reality from God's vantage point. And that's what the prophets did. They showed the reality through God's eyes. And at the same time, they foretold of what was to come. Literally, prophecies. And in the Gospel of Matthew, prophecies being fulfilled was one of the main themes. Right, you'll hear often, right, it has been foretold and it's been fulfilled, right? That's common in the Gospel of Matthew because that's one of his focuses. And to us Christians, here's how we can summarize the law and the prophets. Yes, it's talking about the Bible, okay, and for us that includes the New Testament, because that shows how the law of the God, laws of God were being practiced after Jesus came, and how the prophecies of the prophets were being fulfilled through Jesus. But more broadly speaking, it includes all that we believe and do as Christians: our hope, our theology, our dogma, the principles, our ethics and morals, and our words and actions, basically everything. So when Jesus is saying the law and the prophets to us, that means all that we do and believe. And Jesus says, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." Now, by saying that, "Do not think that I've come to do these," Jesus is anticipating that that's what people might think and do. That Jesus came to free us from the law so that we can live however we like, right, apart from the law in this age of grace. But that's precisely what Jesus is not saying. Right, later on, Apostle Paul makes it pretty clear in his letter to Christians in Rome as well. He says, "Do we then overthrow the law by this faith? By no means. On the contrary, we uphold the law." Because Jesus upheld the law, we too must uphold the law, is what Paul is saying here. The idea of believing that the law of God, like the Ten Commandments, do not apply to me anymore is called antinomianism. That's a little technical term. That means that the law doesn't really apply to us. This is one of the extremes that people can fall into. And the other extreme being legalism, where you have to keep every single law or you're not a good Christian. These are the two extremes that we try to avoid. Now, how or why we should give thanks for the Word of God? Just from what I've been sharing, it sounds more restrictive and suffocating than a gift. And I say that the Word of God is a gift to us because it reveals who God is to us for His glory and guides us towards human flourishing, which is the will of God. And we can understand this with two examples, right? Like a loving parent who cares about their child's well-being, their future, their happiness, will say more no's than yes. Right, parents? We probably say more no's than yeses. And some of you who grew up under a parent who were, you know, who was strict may think, you know what, when I become a parent, I'll let my children do everything that they want, right? I'll say more yes than no. And they will quickly find that that is a shortcut to making your child forfeit their happiness, in fact. And the society calls those kids spoiled. And the laws of God prevent us from becoming a spiritually spoiled people. Here's another example. It's like the rules of a game or sports. Right? Rules do two things for us. One, it makes sure that nobody gets hurt emotionally and physically by preventing unfair plays or dangerous actions. And it makes sure that the game is enjoyable. Take soccer, for example, right? If there were no rules and people can just pick up the ball with their hands and start running towards a goal, right? That wouldn't be very fun. It's not soccer anymore. In fact, that's rugby, and that's actually how rugby came to be. We have all those sports highlights precisely because the players kept to the rules and still made those plays, right? You don't see the players after scoring a goal, right, after abiding to all the rules saying, "Man, that was hard. Man, that sucked. Why do they have these rules anyway?" No, you see them celebrate. In fact, the more they adhere to the rules, the more they celebrate because they know that what they've achieved, right? Which was difficult, and they've achieved it fair and square. The laws of God are the same. It's there to protect us and our neighbors, and it's there to protect human flourishing. And when we love others within the guise of this law, that's a thing of beauty. Remember the Amish from last week's sermon, right? They kept the laws of God, like forgiving one another, and applied it beautifully, thereby showing their good works, their beautiful works that let others, even atheists, give glory to God. So if you want to learn how to love God and how to love your neighbors well, then we already have the manual given to us. God gave us the Bible so that we may know and love God and our neighbors and prove ourselves to be His disciples. And that's why it's a gift. Secondly, give thanks to God for Jesus, the Word of God. Again, let me read the second half of verse 17 and verse 18. He said, I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. See, Jesus wanted to be perfectly clear that he came not to destroy or displace the law and the prophets, but to fulfill them. Now, what does it mean to fulfill? Right? This is super important because this is the main point of these verses. Now, many pastors and commentators have given several opinions and their interpretations of them here. And the three main interpretations are as follows. One, to obey fully. By where Jesus, and to a further extent, us Christians, have failed to completely keep the law and obey them, Jesus perfectly keeps the law. Right? He fulfilled it by obeying it perfectly. Does it mean that? Or two, to bring to its intended meaning. Right? Take the Ten Commandments, for example. Right, next week, we'll be going through Jesus' lesson on anger. And he says in Matthew chapter 5, 21 to 22, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. And whoever says you fool will be liable to the hell of fire. Jesus is not changing the meaning here or getting rid of the Ten Commandments. He's bringing out its fullest meaning, its intended meaning. And here the gospel writer Matthew is also trying to achieve something here by writing the Sermon on the Mount in his gospel. Right? This is the only gospel that contains these sermons. Like when the Israelites came out of Egypt, crossed the Red Sea, and went into the wilderness, and they arrived at a mountain, Mount Sinai, where Moses goes up and receives God's laws, the Ten Commandments. And here, we see something very parallel, right? Jesus goes to the Jordan River, gets baptized, crosses it to the wilderness, spends 40 days there, whereas the Israelites spent 40 years. He goes up to a mountain where he's giving the sermon, and he's giving the law. What is he trying to say? He's not a new Moses receiving the law. He's God who is giving the law. And he's bringing out its deepest meaning. So when God told the Israelites, do not murder, for example, God wasn't barring them from just taking someone's life. He did not want them to wish evil toward one another, to consider them with dignity and worth as the image bearers of God. But the Israelites started taking the law literally, thinking that as long as you didn't actually kill the person, you're okay. Right? You can wish them ill, daydream about killing them, or hurting them again and again, but as long as you didn't actually carry it through, you didn't sin. That's how they took it. And so Jesus is here saying, no, even those who are angry with their brothers, right? They're liable to the same judgment. He's bringing the intended meaning of the law. Or three, right? To bring to its eschatological fulfillment. Now that's a big word, which basically means to show what the law and the prophets were pointing to. Eschatology is about the end thing, the last things. And basically, this interpretation is that the Bible is at the end pointing towards Jesus. And yes, all scripture is about Jesus. Let me say that again. The Bible from Genesis to Revelation is all about Jesus. And you can find Jesus in every page, every place in the Bible. There's a video of an 11-year-old boy going through all the books of the Bible, showing how Jesus fits into all of them, right? And these are some of the things he says. For example, in Genesis, Jesus is the seed of the woman. In Exodus, Jesus is the Passover lamb. In Leviticus, Jesus is the high priest. In Numbers, Jesus is the pillar of the cloud and the pillar of fire. And in Deuteronomy, Jesus is the other prophet who is to come. And he goes on and on until Revelation. Jesus even revealed to the disciples on the road to Emmaus how all scripture pointed toward him. So which one of these three is true? Right? How does Jesus fulfill the law and the prophets? Is it one, again, to obey? Or two, to bring his intended meaning? Or three, to show that all scripture points to him? The answer is yes. All three. All three. And I think so that's the best reading of this. Again, Jesus fulfills the law by being the one to whom it pointed, by embodying it perfectly, by obeying it perfectly, and by expounding its deepest intention, deepest meaning. And the more you study the laws in the Bible, you will learn that they show the character of God. And this is why we need to study the Ten Commandments as well, as we have done last year. The laws reveal who God is, and Jesus shows it to us in the most vivid way possible because he shows it through his life, through his actions. And this is why the gospel writer John opens up his gospel by saying, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And in verse 14, he says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." Jesus is a key that unlocks all of the Bible. The more you read the Bible through Jesus, the more you see him clearly. And the more you get to know him, the more you understand the Bible clearly. And this is going to be a lifetime of learning as you go deeper and deeper into the Bible. And that in turn will bring your intimacy with Jesus deeper and deeper still. And this is why we can give thanks to God for Jesus, for he is the key to everything, including our salvation. So lastly, give thanks to God for the teachers of the Word of God. Now there's a beautiful scene in the book of Acts chapter 8 where the Holy Spirit leads Philip to come alongside an Ethiopian eunuch who is reading Isaiah the prophet's writings. Verse 30 to 31 it says, "So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, 'Do you understand what you are reading?' And he said," the eunuch said, "'How can I unless someone guides me?' And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him." Right? How can I unless someone guides me? And this is why we need discipleship, where one believer guides the other. And as God's church, we must do this to one another, teaching and learning together. And as your pastor, this is one of my main duties as well. And we're all called to be disciple makers, all of us, not just me, right? As Jesus told us to do in the Great Commission. But today, I want to celebrate the moms especially. And that's, right, you're a part of this too, but I would just highlight the moms today. And I think that's okay. The Bible exhorts both the parents to teach about God to their children. But we often see the moms teaching the children about God. Even Timothy, right, who was half Jewish and half Greek, was taught by his mother, who was taught by her mother. And Paul writes this in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. He says, "I am reminded of your sincere faith," and he's talking to Timothy, "a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well." And later in his letter in chapter 3, Paul writes, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it." He's talking about his mother and his grandmother. "And how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, the scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." Again, here Paul is pointing to the fact that scriptures, the Old Testament, is here to guide us, right? Make us wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. As we celebrate Mother's Day today, I am very glad and grateful to see that the mothers among you are all godly women who make it their mission to pass on their faith to their children. And I know that most of you here were taught by or encouraged by your mothers to go to church and to learn about God. And no matter what your current relationship may be with your mother, they deserve your honor if they taught you the word of God, because they will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So let me read that last verse, verse 19, for you. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus warns that we should not downplay or relax any of these commandments or tell others to ignore them too. Sure, they may still enter the kingdom of heaven, but they will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But who will be called great in the kingdom of heaven by God? Those who do and teach the commandments. Look around you, right? These mothers, they are great in the kingdom of heaven. And we will be as well if we do and teach others to do the same. Not in order to enter the kingdom of heaven, because we are already saved. If we believe in the message of the Bible, that is, if we believe in Jesus to whom all scripture points to. But to those who follow these laws, obey these laws, just as Jesus commands them to and teaches others to do the same, they will be called great by God. Now understand that some of you may have come to faith through someone else, and that's fine. For it usually takes a community of believers to bring someone to faith. But whoever it was that helped you believe in Jesus, I want you to take a moment to thank them in your heart this morning. Remember them in your mind and thank them. And if possible, thank them explicitly today. And here's a message for all of us, young or old, male or female, right? We need to remember that the word of God is true and will stand the test of time, will stand the test of attacks until the day Jesus returns. That is the word of God that is fulfilled by Jesus, the word of God made flesh. And we are called to obey and teach these words as well. Remember the last words of Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew. He said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe that all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." And as your pastor, this is my promise to you that I will not relax any of these commandments to you, because I want all of us to be called great in the kingdom of heaven. I want us to be salt and light as Jesus called us to be salty wherever you go and to be bright wherever you stand. And so I leave you with a few applications. First, thank your mothers this week, not just for the love and care, but because they taught you the word of God. And when you read the Bible, right, read the whole Bible, not just the New Testament, but even the difficult bits in the Old Testament. Pray that God will show you Jesus through those texts as you read them. And I also challenge you to memorize a verse each week, every day if possible even, so that these words of God may live in you at all times. And find someone to teach the Bible. They can be someone from the church, or a friend, or a co-worker. Invite them to learn more about God through the Bible. Remember that Jesus already fulfilled the scriptures. He has completed the saving work. We do not obey these commands in order to be saved, but because we are saved. But we keep them because they are God's gift to us. So I am with these words. The law, Jesus who fulfills it, and the people who teach it are three gifts from God worth receiving with gratitude and passing on faithfully. May you cherish these gifts of God this week. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you once again for being able to worship you in this park, in this nature. And we celebrate the gifts that you have given us, your word of God, which is able to make us wise for salvation through your Son, Jesus Christ, the Word of God become flesh, and those who have taught us these words of God, especially our mothers today. We thank you once again, God, and I pray this in Jesus' name. And now receive this benediction. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Word become flesh, and the love of the Father who has given these gifts to us, and the fellowship and the help of the Holy Spirit who opens up these texts, these words of God to us, bless you and keep you now and forever as you go and do and teach them also. Amen.